Now I invite you to stand. And for the reading of scripture from John 10, 1 to 16. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. This they will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. God used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out as they find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep to run away. And then the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. I know the Father, and I lay down the life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd."
So a couple years ago, Kirsten and I read several books about Celtic Christianity and the Scottish Isle of Iona. It left us both inspired, especially the writings of John Philip Newell, and left us longing to journey to Iona someday. We had no idea then that we would be able to go so soon, but our dream was realized a month ago when we made our pilgrimage by car, plane, train, boat, and foot to the Isle of Iona. Iona is considered the birthplace of Christianity in Scotland and has drawn Christian pilgrims and spiritual seekers from all over the world for over 1,400 years, not unlike El Camino in Spain. The Celts called Iona a thin place, where heaven and earth seem to touch, and where the veil between the two is thin, and the presence of the divine seems nearer and closer. George MacLeod, the founder of the Iona community, wrote that Iona is a thin place where only tissue paper separates the material from the spiritual. Many visitors to the island, including ourselves, comment on the sense of peace that pervades this place, the unique quality of light that seems to enhance everything one sees, the holy hush that enhances the sounds of sheep, birds, and distant waves, and how spiritual connection with God comes more easily and more naturally. Many kings of that region were buried there, including Macbeth, because they believed they would be closer to heaven in that place. The island is only 3 miles long, so it's very walkable, having one small village and mostly covered with rolling sheep pastures and rocky outcrops, with only a few single-track roads and minimal motor vehicles. The history of Christianity on the island started when St. Columba journeyed there from Ireland and established a monastery in the 6th century. For many years, monastic life flourished there until it suffered multiple raids from Vikings and a reformation in Scotland that left many monasteries, including the Abbey on Iona, sacked and in ruins. Many years later, during the 1930s depression in the UK, George MacLeod founded the Iona community. MacLeod was born into a wealthy family with significant political influence in Scotland. As a young man, he was pressed into military service in World War I, an experience that left him disillusioned with war and an ardent pacifist. His experience in World War I inspired him to become a minister in the Church of Scotland. As a parish minister in Glasgow, he witnessed extreme poverty and was struck with a divide between the wealthy clergy and the poor working class, and how little the church spoke to the lives of the poor. It was laid on his heart to begin a project to rebuild the Iona Abbey with unemployed tradesmen in Glasgow, working alongside young clergy in training, with the poor lower class tradesmen directing the upper class ministers in training in the labor of the rebuilding. It was from this working community and coming together of upper and lower classes that the Iona community was born. The community continues to this day as an ecumenical community, similar in fashion to other new monastic groups around the world, such as the Taizé community in France, the Simple Way in Philadelphia, the Northumbria community in England, and the Bruderhof community in New York. George MacLeod's vision of faith being worked out in practical ways in loving community continues to this day. Kirsten and I, of course, learned much about the current life and activity of the Iona community, and were privileged to interact with some of them daily during their morning and evening prayers in the Iona Abbey, which they have every day at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. The community has members all over Scotland and the UK, with a small group of them living in community at the Iona Abbey and providing hospitality for retreatants and visitors there. Unfortunately, we were not able to join them for a programmed retreat, but we're able to join them at least for their morning and evening prayers. They are united by a simple rule of life. In their words, in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his proclamation of God's just and generous new order, the Iona community seeks to work with people of goodwill for peace, for justice, for the integrity of creation, and the renewal of worship. Their rule of life is quite simple. Committing them first to regular prayer, engagement with scripture, and worship with others in regional family groups around Scotland and surrounding regions. Secondly, working for justice, healing, and peace in their localities, society, and the whole creation. Thirdly, to accountability to each other for their time and money, and to coming together for occasional gatherings at the Abbey in Iona. They believe that the radical, inclusive, and ecumenical community they seek to be must be embodied in the community they practice, and are committed to living out the Christian faith in hospitality and inclusivity, worship and spirituality, social justice and human rights, peacemaking and nonviolence, environmental concern and stewardship, political activism, etc. To Mennonites and others that appreciate the singing of hymns and group worship, they are known for their music resources, coming especially from John Bell, a prolific songwriter and a member of the Iona community. All their music is published by the Wild Goose Resource Group of the Iona community. Our Voices Together hymnal has over 20 of these selections, which are some of the ones that we're singing this morning. Gathering daily with the Iona community in the Abbey for a short service of prayer and singing was certainly one of the highlights of our trip. Overall, our pilgrimage to Iona was marked by a profound rest and wonderment, and a poignant reminder that what is deepest and most essential in each of us is of God and connects naturally with the Creator. I brought home a small physical reminder of our time on Iona, this little bit of fleece, and I'd like to offer a short meditation about what this teaches me. So we were on Iona at the time of year, maybe I'll just stick this here, at the time of year when probably several weeks before the sheep were shorn, and there were sheep everywhere. So a lot of really shaggy sheep, but everywhere, scattered around the ground in the pastures, in the pathways, clinging to bits, clinging to fence or to rock walls or to the corners of even the corners of buildings where the sheep would rub up against to scratch their itch. You would find bits of fleece, and the Shetland people in the northern part of, in the far north of Scotland, have a word for this. They call it hentlagets. It's just simply some very old words, that mean, the one means to seize or grasp, and the other means a wisp or a tuft of something. And my time on Iona, I think, was a time of recognizing that my life is full of little wisps or tufts. I like to say hints of something. You know, we get these constant reminders and hints of another unseen reality that is deeply enmeshed with this physical reality that is more familiar to us. So we go through our material existence, our physical existence, and sometimes it's hard for us to recognize that God, in that unseen reality, is giving us little hints all the time. But these were my little hints. And so I'll remember that. And I had to think, too, just with losing Marvin this week. When someone crosses that threshold, it's a sacred moment. And especially when the weight of that person's life shines brightly. And I feel that as we remember Marvin in the coming days and weeks, we, even though we're grieving the loss, are the privileged ones in getting that hint. And in this case, I feel like it's a really strong hint from the other side, from things unseen and from the Spirit of God. So I'll leave you with that this morning. And I'd like to invite Kirsten back up, and we're just going to give you a slideshow now with a lot of pictures and a few of our highlights and memories from our trip.
This is views from Iona from the tallest mountain of Dunai. This is just behind our lodging. We stayed in these cute little pods.
You can see the black pods at the bottom of the hill and the abbey off in the distance, which was about a quarter mile from the pods.
Yeah. More pictures of Dunai.
Here's quite a number of pictures just from the our explorations of the island, and especially the shoreline.
I love this. The sand on this one beach was made out of shells. I loved the feel of it. It was so fun too. So
not sand, actually little bits of shells.
Yeah, it was so fun. Such a fun sensory experience for me.
Port Ban on the west side of the island. All the roads were one track, so any cars had to kind of work with that.
I love this picture.
Also Port Ban.
Port Ban. Finding awe-inspiring rocks. The beauty and diversity of the rocks there was so amazing. And we made some pebble art, which we will show you. Yeah.
More pictures of the island. This is a view of Martyrs Bay.
beautiful flowers were like in the rocks. It was so beautiful. Just a couple. Yeah, these two.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. More wildflowers. This is a picture approaching on the ferry of the Iona Abbey and Dunny in the background. The island has only one small village here, Ballymore, basically one or two streets, and that was it. And we don't have any pictures to document this, but we did enjoy some wild swimming in the North Atlantic. 50-degree air and 50-degree water. Yeah, thanks to her pulling me out there.
Well, I think it was a combination, but I was the one that was like, let's do it. Yeah. We're doing it.
So Iona is 1,100 miles north latitude from us. So I didn't realize when I was planning the trip just how much further north they are, but it is the North Atlantic, and it was light at 4:30 in the morning already, you know, or 4 o'clock, and sun didn't set till like 9:45. That was in May, so now it would be even longer there.
Yeah, very long, beautiful days there.
You see a lot of clear skies, very unusual, but we had an entire week of almost perfectly clear skies.
No rain.
And no rain, and the day after we left, it rained for a week straight there. So
they said it was actually in a drought.
Yeah, they were kind of in a drought.
So there was a lot of art shops there. There's a long history of art there. Pebbles, pottery, wool, glass, and also the Book of Kells was also written there.
Yeah, the Book of Kells is currently in Ireland, but that's an old manuscript.
With beautiful pictures.
With like a lavishly illustrated designs and pictures that the monks, like around 800, would have handwritten all the Gospels and illustrated them. Apparently they saved this just in time before a Viking raid and took it to Ireland, where it's now in some museum there.
Yeah.
I'm sure Velma would know about it because every art history major would learn about the Book of Kells.
I learned about it in art history too, so yeah. More sheep?
I want to talk about that. So one of my highlights was listening to the constant bleating of sheep in the background or sometimes very close by. Walking through the pastures, sitting in the pastures, finding hint loggets almost everywhere. And the one night we just spent like an hour just sitting in this spot right here. Tell them what you said.
I was like, I wish I could bring a piece of this home with me.
Something like that. Yeah, the piece of the moment was to be remembered.
It was definitely amazing. Yeah.
More pictures of sheep.
She would stare at us. It was so fun.
And then I've already mentioned some about the Abbey and the Iona community. Kirsten, you say more?
Hearing the toll of bells coming from the Ionic Abbey and gathering with the Iona community and other retreatants and pilgrims nearly every morning and evening at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. for morning and evening prayers, saying hi in the high ceiling abbeys. Songs like Over My Head, The Kingdom of God is Justice's and Peace and Morning Has Broken, which was written in nearby Bunessan.
I didn't know why that song, they say, Blackbird has spoken like the first bird, because to me, blackbirds don't have a very nice song, but lo and behold, get over there, and there's a bird called a Eurasian blackbird, and it has a beautiful song. So I was like, oh, that's why you would write about the beautiful song of a blackbird. more pictures of the Abbey here.
There was a little quiet space, which was really cute that we visited.
Ferns growing right out of the wall of the main sanctuary. This is the cloisters.
And the courtyard.
And the typical high crosses of the high Celtic crosses all over the place there, mm-hmm. with the intricate stone engravings and the Celtic designs. One thing we enjoyed was browsing the bookshop of the Iona community. They have a large selection of books with wonderful titles and a nice gift shop with lots of neat crafts. Kirsten bought a book and a bunch of neat little pins there that she saw.
Yep. Seafood. If you know me, I love seafood. So we ate some crabs. That was an adventure. And yeah, we cooked them. And yeah, so it was an adventure. It was really fun.
There's only one fisherman on the whole island, one commercial fisherman. Him and his family. So we had to special order it, and he left it at the dock in an ice chest for me. And I went down to the dock, and there was an ice chest with my name on it. So it's kind of a neat experience.
And then also some seafood, a seafood sandwich we ate at a restaurant, and I had like a smoked salmon or whatever on bread. It was really good. Yeah.
What's that on the bottom left? Bottom left? That's raw salmon.
Rawson.
Yeah, that was Kirsten's, not mine. Yeah. So we did spend a lot of time relaxing and resting in our pod, where we also enjoyed writing in our travel journal together and reading aloud. This was also a highlight, kind of almost unrelated to our trip, but Sean Dietrich, one of my favorite writers, has a blog, and he was also currently on pilgrimage on El Camino in Spain, and was writing about it. And so we would read his blog whenever we got a chance, and it kind of, there's some things that were kind of relatable to our experience.
Yeah, there was. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. We laughed.
Yeah, laughed and cried.
Cried. There was some good moments in there. Yeah. I also enjoyed coloring. We bought a Celtic coloring book for the plane and stuff, and I colored a lot in the trip, so.
And a few more pictures.
Oh, the sunset was so beautiful.
Yeah, that picture was taken like 9:30 in the evening.
Yeah, beautiful sunset.
Yeah. Okay, that's all our pictures. Thank you. We'll resume with some singing.